Hello, and welcome to another edition of God Made Geek, Geek Made Palm Springs. As always, I'm Alex Barnes.
I am John Ross.
And what were you trying to say there? I'm sorry, I didn't even...
I'm sorry, I just got ahead of myself. I was just going to say, and boy, did a geek make this. I didn't need to say that.
It's like we've done this before. It's like we've done this 1,000 times, John. It's like we've done this exact episode.
Barnes, if I had to relive a day in my life and that day involved recording podcasts with you, I'd have a lot of fun because probably every day I would just be like, Barnes, let's do a different thing, and you'd go along with it.
I mean, I'd have all the time in the world and all of eternity to learn and read about anything.
Exactly.
Even like, without the like, world Barnes, generating what do you really content, like? And, so much.
Right, like I could literally call you every day and I'd be like, what do you really like right now? And you would say, and I'd be like, I've actually done that already. And you would be like, no way, I had no idea you had already done it. And it would be fun. Though I guess on that same day, you'd probably always be into the same things and I'd have to like really get you to dig.
That's true. You have to be like, hey, I want you to get into this thing and read it, and it's 1,000 pages and I'll finish it by tonight.
Right, like I'd have to ask you different questions like, Barnes, what do you think is the best thing you've ever done? What's the longest book you've ever read, etc., etc.?
It's got to be The Stand by Stephen King. Anyway, we're not talking about The Stand by Stephen King. We probably covered that in like 2017. Who knows? We are talking about Palm Springs. It came out here in 2020. It's on Hulu. It's a movie. It was directed by Max Barbacow in his directorial debut. We got some hot directors coming out to shoot right now. We had Olivia Wilde's directorial debut was Booksmart, which was an absolute banger. Another directorial debut, which was an absolute banger in Palm Springs. It stars Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti and Peter Gallagher and J.K. Simmons. And what do you know? We find ourselves with two star-crossed lovers stuck in a time loop.
A good old Groundhog's Day-esque time loop. The beauty of this one is that not only does Andy Samberg starts off in a time loop, but more than one person can join the time loop, as we find out. Yes. Very early on, not only can Kristen Milioti's character join the time loop, which she does, star-crossed lover, but J.K. Simmons' character also joins the time loop, and boy, do antics ensue. I also just want to shout out, this is a Lonely Island production, so you've got not just Andy Samberg, but you have Akiva Schaffer and Yorma Taccone behind the scenes. I also, before we get anywhere into it, I just need to shout out, he only has like two lines, but one of my favorite comedians in the game right now, Connor O'Malley, does have a small part as well.
Yes.
I truly think he is one of the most disturbing and funny comedians out there.
We could do a whole episode on his YouTube channel.
Honestly, yeah.
but no, this is a fantastic movie that got a lot of critical acclaim. It premiered actually over there at the good old-fashioned Sundance Film Festival in January of 2020. And it had a very limited run, I guess, in theaters, but it was very select and very, like, in select cities. But mostly everyone saw it when it came out in July on Hulu. And yes. It's really a unique movie, and it's really fun. I guess, John, what kind of drew you to the movie other than me telling you to watch it?
Yeah, so I actually went back and forth with this one a little bit, because at first I was like, Andy Samberg? Okay. And I was like, romantic comedy? Okay. I don't hate romantic comedies, but I've seen four. And then I was like, Groundhog's Day loop? Then I was like, but Lonely Island? Okay. So I really wasn't sure what to make of it. Knowing it was at Sundance, I was like, okay, there's some really good movies that come out of Sundance, some that are like kind of basic, especially I've noticed movies that come out of Sundance that are like fall in the coming of age or romantic comedy a lot of times end up being kind of meh. So I wasn't entirely sure, but hey, it's a Lonely Island movie. I already have Hulu, it's streaming. Me and Amelia were looking for a little date night, so I was like, hey, let's watch it. Yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised. I always get nervous about the Groundhog's Day thing because it's been done a lot. I think this movie does a really neat job of it. I love that small spoiler that Andy Samberg's character Niles. You don't realize it until a few minutes into the movie, but he has already done everything. Like, he is Bill Murray at the end of Groundhog's Day. At the beginning of the movie, Kristen Milioti, her character, what I keep forgetting her character's name, Sarah. She is the one new to this game, and she has to learn how to deal with things. And I think like the premise is fun, but what really kept me coming back was, I don't know if the movie sticks the landing, but I appreciated that the movie dealt with the battle between like nihilism and finding purpose. And I just want to say, I don't think it's a mistake that the movie deals, Niall's character deals with nihilism for most of the movie. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good twist on Groundhog's Day. It's a classic. A lot of folks are familiar with that kind of like, oh, once you've redeemed yourself or you've changed your ways, and this kind of classic sense you get out of it. But no, he's literally already been there for like years. I mean, probably thousands of years, which can let you bend kind of the reality of the movie a little bit, which I enjoyed, where we can't, I think, as humans process that much time. Like, I can't imagine what being around for 1,000 years would be like, let alone thousands of years. So there's a little bit of that, you know, suspended disbelief about what he does know or what the characters can achieve when you literally have nothing but time on your hands. But it's really funny. It is a romantic comedy, and so they do get to play around with the kind of knowing everything antics and going through the same days over and over again, where you don't feel like depressed or sorry for these characters. Like, you're really just still enjoying the movie the whole time, which is good. I don't always like it when I'm being told to like feel bad at times during movies, especially if it's meant to be a romantic comedy. But they do a really good job of introducing the time loop itself and kind of how it functions, so you get to experience it on a first-hand account when she enters it, and then from there, you know, you just get to kind of live in this really private two-person universe, this two-person existence, and what it's like to be, you know, not necessarily stuck with them, because even though they start in the same place every day, they can do whatever they want with their lives and they still have free will, but they are experiencing something completely unique from anyone else in their new, like, reality.
Right, exactly. And I think, like, I always appreciate when they have a few characters that kind of, I don't know, they kind of embody different reactions or different, I guess different reactions to, in this case, like kind of a trauma, right? These people are stuck the same day over and over. They don't know how to deal with it. And they have, like, each one embodies a different philosophy. So you've got Niles, who is dealing with nihilism. He's kind of like, nothing matters. There's no point, there's no meaning to all of this. I'm just stuck in a time loop and I will be for eternity. And I'm just going to do whatever today, because what else can I do? I'm going to basically drink myself into a stupor. The movie, like, with Niles specifically, it dances on the idea of, like, depression and giving up. And I kind of wish they had stuck with that harder. But then you've got Sarah, who's the kind of very hopeful, hey, like, there's always a way out, right? And her and Niles kind of battle it out at first of, she wants to make something happen. He's just like, there's no point. Life is meaningless. Give up, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got Roy, who goes with a third route of just anger, right? Like, he is just mad. He's decided to pour all of his anger into one person specifically, that being Niles, and try and make his life as miserable as he can. And, like, when it set that up, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great, right? Like, Niles is going to kind of see that, like, yes, this is a horrible situation, it's scary, and, like, it is okay to be depressed, but, like, maybe nihilism isn't the answer to it. Sarah's maybe going to realize, hey, you have to, like, accept the cards life's given to you. And I would say those two characters kind of in the middle of the movie start to fluctuate a little bit. Like, they weirdly flip-flop between who's the voice of reason and who's the nihilist. But Roy's character, he has a very nice journey throughout it, right? He kind of starts to learn throughout the movie of, if this is all I've got, like, I should enjoy it, right? He starts to see the positive parts of his life instead of being so angry about it. So I love the way they do that. Like, it is a main cast of three. It's really the two main people. J.K. Simmons has a smaller role, but I appreciate that they're trying to work through two different philosophies through the characters.
Yeah, I think here, J.K. Simmons is more just like, he represents like chaos. Like, even though you're living in the same day every day, he still wants to try to be impulsive, and, you know, he still has to kind of make more, you know, important decisions in one day, if he's going to see them, if he's going to kind of, you know, be around this wedding, which is what the whole day focuses around, is Christian Milioti's character's sister's wedding. And so it's kind of like, you know, there's still a little bit of that unknown, right? Like, he still doesn't want to know everything about everything, which is what they're being kind of shoved into. And so the way he kind of responds to that and ends up, I guess, settling himself down in that way is really interesting. Because, yeah, they really, all three do take on really unique ways. Because, I mean, gosh, in the moment, in an unrealistic way, I mean, who knows how someone would handle something like that and the different, you know, phases that you go through. It's kind of hard to capture how much time takes place in the movie. John, do you have a guess as to, like, kind of how, like, many days or years they actually live, or how much we see in this movie?
I'm not sure how long they, like, the two characters go. I get the impression that, like, Andy Samberg's character has been in there for, I mean, like,
tens, lifetimes. Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe hundreds of years of worth of days spent in there, which is when I was, like, thinking through it of, like, how could you track it? And then I was like, you couldn't. Every day restarts. Like, mm-hmm. you would never be able to keep track of how many days had gone by.
Right.
I don't know, like, the two characters, I feel like maybe it's more, like, you know, a few years, maybe two or three or something like that. But I could be wrong. Maybe it's 10 years, and they really do have that connection. I think that's kind of the point of the movie, is it leaves you guessing. Like, I remember people have done, like, the math on Groundhog's Day of, like, they take all the things that Bill Murray right. perfects in that movie, like, all the skills, and they map it out and say, like, oh, he was in there for 800 years because it takes 20 years to master jazz piano, and it takes another right. 15 to master ice carving.
I remember the directors, they wanted him to be in there for 10,000 years to learn yeah. every single fact about every single person in the small town. And we don't see those kind of, like, oh, like, Andy Samberg knows, like, here's when the glass is going to fall and here's when, like, this happens. But to, like, understand those relationships is kind of where he always ends up landing, in terms of just right. knowing what everyone's been doing and who he's, you know, has a relationship with or doesn't have, and all of that throughout the movie.
Yeah, and Palm Springs is a little different because they have the whole world at their fingertips. Like, anywhere they can go without falling asleep or dying, they can get to. Whereas,
yeah,
Groundhog's Day, he's stuck in good old Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that blizzard!
That darn blizzard!
It's funny. There's never a day he just takes off, right? Because he could always wake up and try to get out of town fast enough. I don't know. I don't know if he ever tried it.
Who, Bill Murray?
Yeah, right. Because the blizzard comes after his broadcast.
I think there's a scene where he tries to leave and there's, like major traffic blockages, like, yes. every way out of town.
I think you're right.
What was I going to say about Palm Springs? I had something good. Oh, there is one scene. The movie doesn't, you know, it doesn't trouble itself necessarily with, like, the world building or what's happening or anything like that. But obviously it's a film that has a lot to do with time. And there is one scene. I'll label it the dinosaur scene. I don't want to spoil anything past that. But I thought, for a movie that stuck to kind of the conventions of the genre, both romantic comedy and the Groundhog's Day subgenre, if you can call it that. And I thought the dinosaur scene, which if you watch the movie, you'll know it when you see it, was a really nice departure from that, because it is a scene that doesn't really explain itself. But you can tell something's happening between the two main characters that's really special. And I think that's what sells the romance in that movie, is, like, you know, it'd be easy to be like, oh, these two people are kind of funny and they're young and they're stuck together, so of course they're going to fall in love. But that one scene, it's kind of like, yeah, like, they've shared some pretty, like, unique, special things together, and, like, this is a real romance that's happening here. I thought that one scene, I thought, was probably the best scene in the movie and really brought it home in a lot of ways for me.
Yeah, and just the way they interact with each other, like, it's very modern. It's definitely a more, like, irreverent take on Groundhog's Day. It's definitely made for, like, I think, our particular demographic, you know, just fall into Lonely Island since, you know, what SNL and everything, like, in the way that we know kind of what to expect from them. So it fits really well, but I think it would touch on a wider audience too. I think it would be able to get the romance side of it, the comedy side of it. It's got definitely a quality to it where you immediately kind of want to watch it again and see, now that you kind of know everything, what else you can pick up on. You know, you want to try to watch for those little details that makes it worth going back and kind of trying to understand a little bit more. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think I was just looking at some of the numbers here. Critically, it was very well received as well. Rocking a 94% on the old Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, good for you, Palm Springs.
Yeah, 89% audience score, but yeah, pretty much well received. As opposed to, what was the one that was Lonely Island did, where he plays that guy Connor?
Pop Star Never Stop?
Yeah, Pop Star.
I haven't watched that. People have told me it's like a hot rod style, like, level of funny, where it's like each time you rewatch it, it's better and better. And I've wanted to see it, but I just have never. It's not like very easily available.
Actually, that one's good too. It got 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. I guess they just know how to do it.
I wonder, what did Hot Rod get? I'm curious now.
I'm not sure. I'll see. I met them, right, for Popstar when they came to campus.
No.
I did one of those advanced screenings. Yeah, I met Andy Samberg.
I didn't know that.
The whole Lonely Island. Yeah, they came into the
theater.
Where
was I?
I don't know. I don't know how I even got the tickets. I can't remember anymore.
Oh, I should.
Just like when I met what was the movie that Amy Schumer came for? Why did I meet Amy Schumer?
Trainwreck. Yeah.
And it was like the same year, like within 2 years, I got to meet both of them, and it was like really cool. 39% for Hot Rod. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think I remember Hot Rod getting reviewed very poorly, because that was before Lonely Island had like a few funny songs, but they weren't known for movies, but people love Hot Rod now.
Oh, it's people fun. Love Hot Rod.
Great. One of my favorite comedies of all time. Just, it's pure joyful stupidness, and I love it.
Absolutely.
Barnes, anything else to say on Palm Springs? Should we give final thoughts? Do you have more you want to discuss on it?
No, I'm really, I think the setting is really beautiful. It's aesthetically pleasing to me. I really enjoyed it. It kind of made me think a lot. I like to be a little bit, you know, it's got the rom-com, so it's there for some folks. And it's got a little bit of that little sci-fi, a little bit of that mystery. Mm-hmm. It's got a dinosaur scene, so there's some archery. What else can I not spoil? It's got a lot. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really... It was a fresh take on a very, very cliched, very, very overdone idea. And anytime you get into time, you open up a box of worms, can of worms, whatever. And I thought this one absolutely nailed it. I think it achieved what it was set out to do and set out to accomplish. And I will always be keeping this particular production company on my radar. And, you know, I think they've got a lifelong fan in me. And whatever else they make next, I'm sure I will just gobble it right up.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I feel very similarly to it. I will say I really enjoyed this movie. I feel like it did offer up some very juicy philosophical ideas, and it didn't necessarily stick the landing on all of those ideas. I mentioned them earlier, kind of the different characters dealing with things. I think it got a little muddled towards the end of trying to make a plot that worked, that it kind of dropped a lot of the philosophical stuff that I thought made it special. I really, outside of that, really enjoyed it. The ending, Barnes. I'm curious. I thought the like ending to the emotional resolve of the ending was good. The ending of the plot was a little bit like, oh, that's convenient.
The logistical ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not what I was
like,
there for.
Yeah, it's too. What's it called? It was too big to fail. It's too perfect to fail. You know. I'm kind of like, okay, just do it. Like,
exactly. Like, I get it. You needed to find a way to make this happen. But
right.
Overall, I guess a good way to summarize it, would I tell you to go and get Hulu so you could watch it? No. I would tell you to get Hulu because you can watch this and the first 34 seasons of Survivor. But if you have Hulu, I think give it a try. It's a perfect, you know, Friday, Saturday night. I want to put something on that won't break my brain, but also isn't just useless putty in my brain. So, yeah.
Just don't blur the lines of quarantine and this movie. because I don't know when this episode's going to release, and I don't know if we're still going to be in quarantine, but probably, and just hang in there. If you guys have been enjoying these episodes during, I hope it's been a, something to kind of mix up your days and mix up your weeks, and that you're all staying safe out there. We don't always address the, you know, current events, but it did make me think of everything a little bit too with the movie. So I hope everyone's just doing well out there. That's all. I just wanted to say I hope you're all doing well out there.
A lot of us reliving the same day over and over, it kind of feels like. That's a nice message, Barnes. I agree. I hope everybody who's listening is doing well. You're staying calm and happy and taking care of yourself. If you're curious, we've recorded a lot of episodes without releasing them. We don't know what order we're going to do them in, which is why we've stopped teasing the next episode. I will say that we tease this episode and another episode, and I don't know that other episode will play before this one. So
that's so true.
Just deal with it. You might hear us make references to some events that happened months ago. Who knows? We're keeping it fun. We're keeping it light. Me and Barnes are just having fun. We're just talking about things.
Yep.
All right. Barnes, do you want to say thank yous?
Yeah, thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you ever into something, you want us to check it out, you want us to review it, just tweet at us at GMGGMS. You can also write us an email, I think, or just reach out to us personally if you know who we are. Thanks to Alex Moore for the graphics, Adam Scove for the music, and until next time, we will see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.